I read this scripture text. To everything there is a season, turn, turn, turn. Does that sound familiar? I feel like if Pastor Jim were preaching this sermon today, he would probably make you sing that with him. But I'm not that mean. But that song actually takes these words from Ecclesiastes and it sets them to music. The scripture passage that we just read is thousands of years old, but the words still resonate with us today. That's exactly why this makes such a catchy song. It's like the older we get, the more we realize that every part of life has its own unique season. Now, that's not to say that every season is good. Some seasons of life are just really, really difficult. I'm not sure that you could call every season good necessarily. But over time, one season changes into another season. And often when we reflect back over our lives, it can feel like the seasons have gone by surprisingly quickly. Now, Ecclesiastes was written in the ancient Middle East as part of a genre called wisdom literature. And wisdom literature consists of important life lessons that the older generation is trying to pass on down to the younger generation. So imagine if you are a person in your 80s or your 90s, what might be a few key life lessons that you wanted to pass on down to your great-grandchildren? That's exactly what wisdom literature is there for. And we actually find quite a lot of that type of writing in the Bible. The wise old sage who wrote Ecclesiastes, he wanted the next generation to know that for every part of life, there's a unique season. And then eventually, times change, and then a new season begins. And what worked in one season doesn't necessarily work in the next season, because each season is unique. You probably don't expect to be able to go ice fishing after church today, and you probably don't expect to be able to go swimming either. But you might go out and you might start planting your garden this week because we're in the season of spring. Thank goodness, finally. But each season is different, and each season presents its own unique activities and purposes. And that's just how God made the world. I feel like our church is experiencing a changing season right now. Over the past 2 years, we've had a wonderful season together with Pastor Jim, and I would say that we've experienced a lot of healing and spiritual growth during this time. And now that season is over, and a new season is beginning as we're preparing to welcome our new pastors, Charlene and Kendall. This season will be different than the ones that came before it, because Charlene and Kendall are different people than Jim. And they'll bring to us different skills and different passions and different gifts. It'll be a new season as our church learns to get to know them, learns to trust them, and as we discover what gifts they bring. Each season is unique. Each season offers its own gifts and challenges. And each season has something valuable to teach us. But it can be hard when seasons change. I know that many people are really missing Jim right now, and I miss him too. We grew to love him. We appreciated his ministry in our congregation. But a season can't stay the same forever. We need to be able to let go of the past season so that we can embrace the new season that God is bringing us. I don't try to go ice fishing in the spring, and I don't try to go swimming in the winter. We can only really enjoy a new season when we can fully embrace what it has to offer us. And don't expect it to be exactly the same as the season that came before it. Now, I say this because I know that change is hard. It's hard for me too. I get used to things being a certain way, and then all of a sudden I have to go and I have to figure them all out again. It's like when Apple puts an update on my phone. It takes me like 3 weeks to learn the new system. It drives me nuts. But I find it comforting in knowing that I'm not the only person in history who's ever felt frustrated by change. The people of Israel felt this way too, just as they were on the cusp of entering into the Promised Land. So let me share that story with you. You can read it in Deuteronomy and Numbers. So Moses, he was an incredibly gifted leader. God used him to lead the Hebrew people out of their slavery in Egypt. Moses was the guy who finally stood up to Pharaoh, the oppressor of the Hebrews, and he said, "Let my people go." And then when Pharaoh's armies chased the escaping slaves and tried to cut them down as they were fleeing, Moses parted the Red Sea, and the people walked through on dry land. Moses spoke with God on the top of Mount Horeb, almost face to face. And God gave Moses the Ten Commandments that would come to define the life of the Israelite community. God used Moses in ways that were unlike any leader that ever came before him. But Moses wasn't God. He wasn't perfect. Sometimes he made mistakes and messed up. At one point, Moses struck a rock with his staff to provide water for people when they were thirsty in the desert without actually listening to how God wanted him to do that. God told Moses that as a consequence of not listening to God, Moses wasn't going to be allowed to go into the Promised Land himself. And so when the time came for the Hebrews to finally enter the Promised Land after their 40 years in the desert, Moses was very old. But God gave him one final gift. God brought Moses up to the top of a high mountain so he could see the Promised Land with his own eyes. And it was there that God told Moses a new leader, Joshua, was going to bring the people the rest of the way home into the Promised Land. I imagine it must have been difficult for the Hebrew people to receive Joshua as their new leader. After all, who could possibly follow in the footsteps of Moses? I mean, the guy literally parted the Red Sea, right? Like, no pressure. I wonder how Joshua would have felt as he commanded the people to go forward and to go into the Promised Land. I wonder sometimes if he felt intimidated or unsure. And I wonder if the people of Israel felt apprehensive about Joshua taking on that kind of responsibility. The scripture tells us in, by the way, the book called Joshua, that God spoke to Joshua in this pivotal moment. God said, "My servant Moses is dead. Now proceed to cross the Jordan, you and all of this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the Israelites. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, as I promised to Moses. No one shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall put this people in possession of the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. I hereby command you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." The text tells how the people responded. They said, "All that you've commanded we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses." During a season of change, a season that could have been quite scary, God promised the people of Israel that he would still be there with them leading the way ahead. God said to them, "I will never fail you or forsake you." God's promise with the people of Israel wasn't just dependent upon the leadership of Moses. One leader, no matter how gifted or charismatic, doesn't make a community. A community of faith is made up of a group of people who depend upon God at their center. A community of faith is much more than any one individual, even though each person is important. But God is able to raise up new leaders with new gifts whenever God feels that the time is right. Just like in Israel when Moses passed away, the work of God in our community doesn't end when a pastor or any other leader might leave. God is still at work in us and through us, just as he always has been and just as he always will be. God promises to never leave us or forsake us, just as he promised to Joshua. And sometimes, maybe it takes a new leader to bring a people into the promised land. God gave some powerful words to Joshua during that season of change, and I think those same words are still relevant for us today. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. Just to help us to like really soak that in and really hear that, I'd like to invite you to repeat those words together with me. Be strong and courageous.
Be strong and courageous.
Do not be frightened or dismayed.
Do not be frightened or dismayed.
For the Lord our God is with us.
For the Lord our God is with us.
Wherever we go.
Wherever we go.
Amen.